We're going to talk about the family that was the focus of the Skinwalker book in just a second. But when I introduced both of you, I talked a little bit about Skinwalkers and what, at least a definition of some Native Americans, what they might be. And they all seem to agree that they're demonically possessed or some kind of evil surrounds these. Do you believe that's the case?
Well, I mean, the Native Americans sure do. They take it very seriously, and the evidence of that is the fact how hard it was for us to get any of them to talk to us about it. You research the lore. Anthropologists have addressed this in several academic treatises, and it's clear that the Navajo, the Utes, and the Hopi and other tribes all have their versions of skinwalkers, but it's basically the same thing, that this is an evil sorcerer, a witch, capable of shape-shifting, turning into animals, werewolves, that sort of thing. And nothing but bad things come from skinwalkers. So when the Ute tribe deemed this property that we're talking about as it being in the path of the skinwalker, they were basically admonishing their members not to go on the property, to stay away from it, because it was a place of evil.
I was going to say, they tried to ignore that region for as long as they could, couldn't they?
Yeah, exactly, and some of them have gone on it, but, you know, and we're not saying literally we're taking skinwalkers at face value, that they're real. But the Navajo and the Utes certainly take them as real, and that has spilled over into the study that was done by NIDS.
Tell me about the family, the Gorman family. Who were they?
Well, they were a ranching family that had come in from out of state in late 1994. They really wanted to get away from the small town sort of gossiping. So they wanted to get a secluded property, and when they found this property in northeastern Utah, they were absolutely delighted. Tom Gorman was a rancher. He specialized in artificial insemination of high-end cattle,
mm-hmm.
mostly Black Angus and Simmentals, and he bred these animals. They were all registered animals. They were all very, very valuable in the thousands of dollars. So his ranching operation was very, very different from the standard operation that was in the Uinta Basin. And within a couple of years of him arriving there, he had established a reputation as somebody who could sell very, very high end cattle. And you know, people came from out of state actually to buy his animals. So this was not your normal sort of ranching operation at all. It was specific. He did all of the artificial insemination himself, so he had quite a reputation. So if and when he lost an animal, which did happen very quickly after the family arrived on the property, it was a very, very big deal. Normal attrition for ranching operations, especially small ranches, are in the sort of 2 to 3%. If this guy lost one animal out of 100, it was a very big deal because of the economics of his operation.
Oh, sure. This was a prized breeding stock for him, I'm sure.
Exactly. That was the case. So so the family moved on to this property, which had been abandoned for about 7 years before they had moved on. And they moved on in late 1994. So it was shortly thereafter that things began to get very strange.
What kind of things happened to the Gorman family there?
Well, George, maybe you could relate the wolf story.
Well, on the first day that they were moving onto the property, as they are unloading their stuff, they noticed there was a large animal out on the edge of one of these pastures, and it was a wolf. And they sort of remarked to each other, "Hey, we didn't realize there were wolves in this area." And this thing was slowly sidling its way across the pasture toward them. And they surmised that, hey, this thing is not only a wolf, it's a huge wolf, I mean, larger than the size of a small horse, and it appeared to be tamed. Suddenly it comes walking into the midst of where the family is standing next to the corral, and sidles up to them, and they assume it's tamed. They could smell that it had been raining. They could smell a wet dog sort of a smell. And this thing is walking among them, and it suddenly sees a calf that's in the corral next to them and walks towards it and snaps its jaws on the snout of this calf. and is trying to pull it through these bars. The rancher, of course, reacted quickly. He starts kicking the wolf. It makes no impact. He grabbed a baseball bat or an axe handle and starts whacking it on the back. It doesn't even flinch. It's paying no attention to him. He sends his son over to the truck to grab a .357 Magnum handgun, the most powerful handgun in the world, and shoots this thing. Doesn't budge. Shoots it again. Shoots it a third time. It was on the third shot that the wolf sort of lets go of the calf. But it's just standing there. It's not bleeding. It's not making any noise. It's showing no signs of distress whatsoever. They're stunned, quite frankly, stunned and frightened by it. They go into the house, grab a powerful .30-06 hunting rifle. The guy, this rancher Gorman, was a world-class hunter, and he tells the family basically stand back, takes a shot at this thing, blasts it, and again, no impact. He takes another shot. A fifth shot should have brought down anything, any kind of animal, an elephant, an elk,
sure.
Anything. A chunk of flesh flies off the wolf, and it just sort of, it still is not crying, nothing, showing no signs of distress. It sort of walks slowly, walks away, and starts leaving, walking back across the pasture where it came from. Well, they realize something really unusual is happening here, so they grabbed another hunting rifle and go after it. They track it through this underbrush and into this this wet area near a creek that borders the property. They're following the tracks through the brush and can see them very clearly in the mud. They get to a point, and the tracks just disappear.
Poof.
The animal just disappeared into thin air. They go back and picked up the chunk of flesh that had flown off the wolf from the last shot, and it was flesh that looked like it had been out on the property, out in the sun for several days, rotten, decayed, very, very strange. That's day one.